Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Liao, and I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the reports, the happenings, and the information of what is coming upon the land. Well, my friends, I want to welcome each and every one of you that are listening. Over the last several broadcasts, I have shared some very, very intense messages with you on what lies ahead for this nation and for the world. God has been revealing many things prophetically to all of us. Why is He doing this? Because He loves you and you need to be warned that time is running out. And out of His compassion, God wants to warn you and your loved ones. And by the way, folks, please share these messages with your loved ones. I get many emails from people that tell me that they're sharing these audios with their young adult children. And as their children listen to the messages, they're being touched by God. And they find themselves weeping and repenting. And I encourage you to do the same thing with your friends and with your family members. Folks, I'm amazed at how fast world events are happening right now. And I'm also sobered at the thought that these things are leading every one of us to an unpleasant destination. And I don't have the words to share how serious the future is going to be for all of us. And the best way that I can put it, my friends, is we are all on a train that is traveling very, very fast. And this train has no brakes. And just ahead of us, along the train tracks, the bridge is out. It is gone. And that is why I do this, folks. This is why I have been spending hours and hours seeking God so that I can hear from Him on what is coming and what to share with you. And brethren, during this season of God's chastisement, we need to be hearing from the throne room. Not from the mind of man or the lies of the enemy, we need to hear from God Himself. And that's what I am doing. I am seeking God with all of my heart, folks, to hear His heart's cry and His instructions. When God recently revealed to me that Lamentations was coming to America, I shared that message with you. And as you know, it was very, very intense. By the way, you can go to my website at watchmanscry.com and download that if you have not heard it. You can download it for free and listen to it, and I invite you to do that. But that message shook many of you. And I know this because you emailed me and you told me so. So since then, I have been on a spiritual prayer quest, asking God, God, what do I say next? And thankfully, brethren, I have been experiencing an inundation of new information and biblical insight that I must share with all of you. Now, God has given me so much information that it's going to actually take several audio broadcasts. It might even take up to 3 or 4 audios to cover all of the information. You know, folks, I am very, very blessed and I feel very fortunate that a lot of you that are listening are very smart people and you have your ears and your eyes open and you have the understanding and the insight of God. You have a hunger and a thirst for truth. And those of you that are aware, you understand and you know that we are no longer in a regular type of American history cycle. It is no longer business as usual. Folks, we have already rounded the proverbial corner. We've crossed the proverbial bridge and the Rubicon River is now behind us. And in this audio message, I'm going to share a very important call with every one of you. It is a call not just to casually come to God. It is a call to run to God. Why? Because the door of opportunity is closing. Again, to everybody that is listening, feel free to go to my website and download all of the audio messages that are on there and listen to them and share them. Folks, now more than ever, the people of God need to be warned and awakened to what is coming. Pastors need to be warned and awakened to what is coming. There are so many souls out there, folks, that have no clue what's coming. And it's going to take all of us to do that. So I want to let you know right now that you have my permission to copy my audios and to put them online. You can burn them to CDs, to discs. Folks, we must spread this message of warning. So again, my website is watchmanscry.com. And real quick, before I get started, I also want to continue the invitation that I have been sharing, and that is this, folks. I am still preparing for the contingency of no internet. So please email me your physical address so that in case the internet goes down, I will still be able to communicate with you and send you audio sermons on disc and a newsletter, hard copy. We will have to go back decades, just like ministries were done in the 70s and in the 60s where cassette tapes were mailed out to people. We are going to resort back to that, folks, if the internet goes down. And I don't want to lose communication with any of you. So if you really enjoy these messages and if they minister to you, send me your physical address, folks. Also, one more thing before I begin. I want to ask you to please go to God and ask Him about supporting this ministry, Watchman's Cry. Folks, we really, really appreciate your gifts of support because that's how we can continue doing this. So go to God in prayer and ask Him. The address is Nathan Liao, Watchman's Cry Ministries, P.O. Box 157, and that's Priest River, two words, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Again, we appreciate your gifts. If you're not able to send a gift, I ask that you would pray for this ministry. Brethren, I value and I covet your prayers because we're in a spiritual battle right here and the enemy does not like what this ministry is doing. There are many, many lives that are being changed and touched by Watchman's Cry. If you could only see the emails that I get from people that are coming back to God from being away from God, from backslidden states, folks, we're making a difference, so I appreciate your support. Well, let's get started, folks. My friends, as a person that seeks to know what is going on, and as a watchman that watches world events, I am constantly scanning the horizon. And as I do this, I see a very disturbing condition in the land of America and in the West. I see a land that, at this very moment, is being shaken to its very core. But at the same time, amazingly, its people, including most Christians, are apathetic, spiritually complacent, and indifferent. I do observe that the shaking is beginning to awaken some people, but that group is very, very small. Most of the American public is blind, and they have no idea that the good old USA is infected with a terminal illness, an illness that she obtained by her own choosing. And what is America's sickness? It is the cancer of lost morality. It is her sin of carnal excess and self-indulgence. America has made it known to the entire world that she is proud of her deviant rejection of God's laws and statutes. And the report of her waywardness and her fornication is evident in the appearance of her Christian citizens. It can be observed in how they dress and in how they accessorize. And I have noticed, folks, that harlotry fashion seems to be an accepted staple of the new purpose-driven Christianity. In fact, in so many churches, modest apparel seems to be an expired and outdated virtue. And folks, please don't get mad at me for saying this, but I have eyes, and according to what I observe, it would seem that Britney Spears is now a Christian and attends church. Why? Because she shows up in one form or another in churches across America at the expense of hapless young men trying to worship God but having to stand in the row behind her. And do the pastors say anything about this? No. Why not? Because they're too busy dressing cool themselves. Hello, shepherds. You're the last moral line of defense. And you know, folks, it's pretty pathetic when young men say that they quit going to church because the women at church looked like hookers and tempted them. Hello, are you still with me? And today, for these reasons of silence from the many pulpits on modesty, America's young people have no direction. And her adults have no direction. And as a result, they have an insatiable appetite to satisfy their flesh. And this hunger is testified in her movies. It is displayed in her entertainment and in her digital images. And it can also be found on carnal self-portraits stored on millions of cell phones across America. America, once known as the land of the free and the home of the brave, is now the land of their own desires and home to their own will. America, you once taught your children the Ten Commandments, but now you teach your young ones that chastity and moral restraint are displeasing to the new American deity, the God of self. America, you have thrown away your moral compass that pointed you to the laws of God, and now your land is sick, and your visitation from God of heaven has arrived. America, your economic health deteriorates, and you are gasping for breath. Does anybody notice? Does anybody care? America has a cancer. She is dying, but still, the indulgent and self-confident ones think otherwise. They believe that sorrow will never visit their shores, and so many of them have listened to the lies from the Ministry of Propaganda, the controlled media. And how about you, my friends? Have you heard these fables, the falsehoods and deceptive words that say, "Hey, everybody, drink our Kool-Aid. All is well. The economy has recovered." Have you, folks? Have you believed their words? And to make matters worse, in the churches, we can also observe that the present heavenly visitation is being ignored. So many pastors are giving sermons that address the search for your best life now, or the life of business as usual. And so many pastors are out of touch with the spiritual and with the biblical reality of the present scenario. What scenario is that? It's the new chapter of judgment that is now arriving on the shores of the land. And because so many pastors have saturated their sermon schedules and their church bulletins with the lopsided grace message, the holy and righteous part of God has not been taught to the people. And it's amazing, folks. Even though the present economy of America has melted like an old candle, the pastors are ignoring it. And even though millions of people that attend church are unemployed, the pastors are ignoring it. And even though more American homes have been foreclosed on now than in the first Great Depression, the pastors are silent and they're ignoring it. And even though city governments are laying off policemen and firefighters and closing city libraries because they don't have the money, and even though the voices from appointed messengers are crying out, "Repent, judgment has arrived," these many pastors are ignoring the signs and the warnings and are instead telling people that God does not judge. But even still, right now, the land is shaking. This shaking over the land is shouting with a loud voice. And that voice is saying, "People, return to the Lord your God. Return to the one who made you. Return to the only one that can sustain you and save you." But sadly, most people are blind and stubborn, and their worldly conscience has seared their ability to see the tidal wave that is now approaching with a fury. Most people are spiritually deaf, and they cannot hear the mighty roaring of the tsunami of God's judgment. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, it says that judgment will begin in the house of God first. Let me say that again, my friends. Let me repeat those words again. Judgment will begin first on God's people. And if it first begins with us, what happens to them that do not obey the gospel? My friends, this thing is real. And let me also say this. You don't really have a choice. The land will shake whether you like it or not, or whether you believe it or not. God has many voices out there crying out right now. Right now they are pleading to all that will listen. "People, it is coming." But are the people listening? When the prophet Amos was told to warn the people of Israel of their coming judgment, he saw the Lord God. And he wrote in the book of Amos chapter 9, verse 1, I saw the Lord standing on the altar. Folks, there are times when God shows Himself to us as a gentle lamb, and there are times when He shows Himself as the risen Lord. And then there are times when He shows us Himself in mighty, incredible, fierce power. Amos saw the Lord standing on the altar. And what a sight it must have been. As the Lord stood on top of the altar, I picture Him looking like He appeared to the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, with feet of fine brass, glowing like a furnace, with raiment as bright as the sun. And this was not a wimpy God that so many people picture. This was the Lord God Almighty, the Creator of the universe, with a voice like thunder and trumpets and many waters. Amos saw Him, and when Amos saw Him, he was quaking, trembling at the sight of Jehovah God standing on the fiery altar. And Amos knew the majesty and the strength of God because he was looking at it. Amos knew that God is He, the Great I Am, the Lord of hosts, who can merely touch the land with His fingertip and have it melt beneath Him. And Amos heard God say, smite the lintel of the door that the posts may shake. And my friends, when God does something in the heavenlies, something actually happens here on earth. And this gesture was God sending the judgment down to the land of Israel. And from that point on, Israel began to feel the shaking of God. So today, my friends, I ask, have you wondered what's taking place behind the scenes in the heavenlies when it comes to America and the other lands that God is judging? And as I was recently seeking God and praying to Him, I was experiencing a very, very reverent moment with Him. And the Holy Spirit led me to a passage of Scripture. And as I read it, the Holy Spirit shared with me that the description that I was reading applied to us right now. So I want to share this passage of Scripture with you. So if you can, take your Bible and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 75. And as I read this and share some things with you, this is actually going to answer the question, why judgment must come to this land. So please turn to Psalm 75, folks. Psalms 75, verse 8. Are you there? For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture. Now, as I read that, when I was seeking God, God showed me in the Spirit that America has a cup. And this cup of America is the cup of America's iniquity. And America has filled this cup to overflowing. It is full. It's full, folks. It's full of the mixture of the sins of the land. And it is full of the abominations of the men and women across America. It is a mixture of so much infidelity, homosexuality, murder, and greed, and all the works of the flesh that are celebrated on your TV set. Nathan, why is judgment coming? I'll tell you, my friend, this is why judgment is coming. Because in the hand of the Lord God Almighty, there is a cup, and the wine is red. And that word red, in that passage of Scripture, in the original Hebrew, means boiling. The cup of America's iniquity is in God's hand, and it is boiling, my friends. It is boiling like a cauldron over a blazing hot fire. And the boiling mixture is now spilling in God's hand. And He has had enough of it. And the verse goes on. And He pours it out. And all of the wicked of the earth shall drink it. Do you see that, folks? And I ask this. Why shouldn't they drink it? The sins of this land have been planted into the soil of America. And now, over the land, is a harvest field of the putrid fruits of darkness. And this harvest across America is sprouting a society that is morally deprived and rejects the statutes of God. And this dark harvest is sprouting the seeds of sin, and the sin is fermenting in the ground as I speak. And now the ground is polluted with the mixture, The soil in your city has the imprints of guilty souls that have no remorse. The soil in your city has the blood of the innocent crying out from it. The soil in your city has been coated with the crust of so many abominations, and now the land is polluted. And folks, even though you may not want to hear it, the land must now be judged. Brethren, right now, if we only realized and we knew what was actually coming, we would be running to God with every fiber of our being. But today in America, most people do not want to hear this warning. They desire to go their own way. And some of the most guilty are those that attend church and call themselves His children. So many pastors are silent and are not warning the people. They're not warning their flocks to repent and to seek the shelter of the Most High God. But this is not new. This trend is not a new thing. Amos, the prophet, also encountered this blind attitude. And when Israel was mired and buried in idolatry and harlotry, God sent warnings for them to turn, but they did not listen. And finally, the day arrived. God had had enough of them. And in Amos chapter 4, God said that He swore by His own holiness that He would judge the wayward people. And then God said something very, very terrifying. And if you want to, go to Amos chapter 4 so that you can see it with your own eyes. God said, I will take you away with hooks. And folks, when God Almighty says that I'm going to drive a fish hook into your rebellious soul and drag you away, you are in trouble. And today, here in America, there are so many people that need to repent and turn, but they're not doing it. The pastors should have taught them. They should have taught the people the session of the solemn assembly, but they have not done it. And today in American churches, so many people walk up to the front and stand there to get something. They stand there to get a financial anointing or a personal word of prophecy from prophetic seers and warlocks. And the people walk to the front and they stand there with their knees locked. Lord, give me this, give me that. When instead, my friends, they should be at the front of the church, all of them bending their knees and giving their hearts, giving their lives, giving up their sin, offering tears and words of, oh God, woe is me, oh God, have mercy on me, oh God, have mercy on us. And it's a tragedy that in so many mega churches, the bended knee is a stranger and it's a foreign concept. But still, the voices in the wilderness are crying out to whoever will listen and to whoever will turn. And I have a question. Are these words stirring you? Is there a yearning in your gut that tells you that yes, there has to be something more to your Christianity? Or are these words falling on deaf ears? My friends, the clock is ticking, and there is an hourglass in the heavens that has been turned upside down. The countdown has begun. And when it is empty, the appointed time of judgment will be in full swing over this land. And at this moment, there are a few grains left to flow down. There's still time for you to prepare your hearts, to lead your families to repentance, to get your last minute items. But soon, that door is going to be shut. Brethren, please do not wait too long. Please don't do that. You may ask me, Nathan, what happens when the door shuts? That's a good question. Keep listening. I'm about to tell you. When God called Amos to warn the people, God told Amos, Amos, the days have come. The people have run out of time, and they do not want to return to me. So I am sending them signs, and I'm doing things to the land, but still they reject the signs, and they have not returned to me. So now I have sent them cleanness of teeth. In all of their cities, they have no bread to put into their mouths. But still, they have not returned to me. And brethren, here in America, one by one, the city factories are abandoned. People are without work. By the millions, millions of people are on food stamps. One out of every eight Americans, a historical number. Millions of people are hungry. God is right now, this very day, sending to America cleanness of teeth. To their cities and to other cities of the world. But still, amazingly, incredibly, the pastors and the people are ignoring the historic heavenly billboard staring at them in their face. And the people are not returning to their God. And folks, we're just at the beginning. Because coming in your future, a super depression like none that this country has ever experienced. The days are coming, brethren, where the dollar's going to collapse. The currency will go extinct. And the middle class of America will find themselves living in third world America. And so many of the people that were confident and ignored God and that love to stand in line to go to concerts are going to be standing in line for food. And for those that do not want to stand in line for food may find themselves eating out of garbage dumpsters. My friends, these days are approaching. God was very clear. Lamentations is coming to America. Have you read it? These things are coming. Whether you like it or not, they're coming. And it has already begun. And if history is any indication, if human nature is any indication, even while people are standing in line in the future, waiting to get their food, how many of them will be saying, "This is the hand of God over this country"? Very, very few, because men's hearts are hardened and they do not want to acknowledge their Creator God. And during the days of Amos, God withheld the rain. God changed the weather. The people clamored and they ran around trying to find water, walking great distances, but they didn't get to it. And today, throughout this world, God is withholding the rain. He has sent drought to so many places. California has no water. But are the people looking up? No. And still their hearts have not returned to Him. And God sent Israel pestilence. In Amos 4, chapter 10, God said, "I sent it to you, Israel, just like I did Egypt. And your people are dying. And I sent aggressors to you, and they attacked you with the sword, and they slaughtered you, and your young men died in your camps, on your land. And so many people were slaughtered and were killed to the point that their rotting bodies, they began to stink up the camps and the land. And God said, I made the stench of their rotting corpses go into your nostrils. And still, even with that, when there were brand new widows wailing in grief because their husbands were just killed. And when there were fathers who had lost their sons in battle and mothers who no longer had their babies, still, the people did not see that these events were the hand of God. And still, they did not return to Him. And likewise, today, folks, we here in modern times have a potential new plague on the horizon. Announcement to everybody. Everybody that is listening, hear this. The swine flu has mutated. And already it has infected people in the Ukraine. And this new mutation has the same viral signature as the 1918 Spanish flu that killed millions of people. And I've seen the number. 40 to 50 million people died during the Spanish flu. And when the swine flu first arrived last April in Mexico, many people were saying, we hope that it does not come back next winter, and we hope that it doesn't mutate and turn into something more deadly like we experienced during the Spanish flu. Well, folks, here's the announcement. It has done that. And this new mutation of the swine flu is called, by the way, get a pen and write this down, and you can Google it if you don't believe me. This new mutation, this new form of the swine flu, is called D, the letter D, like dog, D225G. D225G. Go ahead and Google it, folks. Write that down. You may find yourself hiding from this thing in the future. It's a plague, and it's horrible. And this is what it's doing to the people in the Ukraine. It attacks the lower lungs, and it parks itself in the lower lungs of people, and it causes their lungs to hemorrhage. That means to start to bleed. Until the lungs get so full of blood and the heart is not able to pump oxygen, that the people die of cardiac arrest or pulmonary heart failure. Question, will this thing come to America? I don't know. But if it does, it could get ugly. And when it does, this is what I wonder. Will the people be turning to God for deliverance? Or will they just stay angry and say, this mutation was made in a laboratory. The government did it. I'm mad. Men to arms. Is that what they're going to do? Just stay angry? Folks, let me say this. Even if some rogue elements in government caused the mutation to happen, it is still the judgment of God. Because historically, God has always used human agency to carry out His will and His judgment on other people. So if this thing starts arriving in the next few weeks or the next few months, how many people will turn to God? How many will put their faith in God? Will they put it in God, or will they put their faith and their hope in the hand of man? What will the prayers of the people be? What will your prayer be? Will your prayer be, God, have mercy. Shelter me and my family under your blood and under the shadow of your wing. Or will the prayer be, give me the vaccine and save my family? My friends, please hear what I'm about to say. When God judges a land, it is not pretty. The people become haggard from vexation and no food. And if the judgment is bad enough, the land begins to stink. Why? It is the stench of rotting corpses, dead bodies. And already, I've read reports that in some American cities, people are so broke they cannot afford to bury their dead loved ones. So they're dropping them off at city morgues and abandoning their loved ones. And the morgues don't know what to do with them. This is happening right now in the good old USA, folks. When God visits a land with judgment, it is not a fun Hollywood movie or a video to observe from a neutral location. Brethren, if there is one truth that we need to really, really get a hold of, it is this. When God visits a land and chastises it, there is nowhere to hide except one place, under His hand. But very, very few get under there, because instead they deny that it is Him in the first place, and then they try to seek the shelter of man. But I ask, who can hide from God? In Amos chapter 9, verse 1, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. God said, Amos, I'm going to cut them in the head. All of them, and I will slay the last of them with the sword. And he that tries to get away and flee from the invaders, they're not going to get away. And he that escapes them will not be delivered. And for the clever ones that think that they can hide in caves or in pits or tunnels that they dug, though they dig all the way down to hell, my hand will take them. And if they climb up to the highest hiding place, I am going to bring them down. And then God said, and even if they could hide themselves at the bottom of the sea, I will command the serpent down there, and the serpent shall bite them. And to those of you that think yourselves clever and are making preparations to survive what's coming without repentance, without God, hear this, my friends, without repentance and without God, your bullets and your gold will perish with you. Unfortunately, this is going to happen, and it's going to happen across America. You see, folks, God's not sending the super depression and martial law as a test to your wilderness survival skills or as a test to your citizen soldier militia skills. No. He is sending the judgment so that you will turn to Him, so that you will forsake your old carnal ways and submit to Him. And by the way, I'm not just speaking to unbelievers or backslidden ones. I'm also speaking to the remnant right now. During the days of Amos, the judgment, it was very harsh, brethren. And God said, He was talking to Israel, and He told them, I overthrew you with judgment just like I overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, when God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, they were all destroyed. All of them except for Lot and his family. And in the same way, Israel was almost entirely destroyed. Also, when God judges, there are images and events that happen in the spiritual realm that we cannot see. And during this judgment on Israel, it was like a furnace of fire that Israel was falling into. And as they fell into the furnace, they were all perishing. Translation, they were all dying. And perhaps in the natural, they were dying by a plague or by an invading soldier who pierced them through with a sword. Or maybe they were dying with starvation. But in the heavenlies, it was a very hot, fiery blaze of a furnace that was burning. And folks, if you can remember any points in this sermon that I'm sharing right now, please remember this. The furnace of God gets the job done. The furnace of God is a very serious thing to behold. And the furnace of God is not where you want to find yourself. Amos 4:11. Turn there if you have your Bibles. And I find it very sobering, this passage that I'm going to read. When God was judging Israel, they were all dying. And if God did not intervene, there would have been nobody left to continue the legacy of the nation of Israel. So God had to intervene, and He said that He had to save a few from the fire of judgment, otherwise they would have all perished. So He always saves a remnant, folks, out of His compassion. And there's a passage here that I really want to share with all of you. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Amos chapter 4 and go to verse 11, folks. And look what it says right here. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And ye were as, and please make note of this, folks. Here it is right here. And you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet you have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And I find it very sobering, brethren. This passage that I just read. When I was seeking God a few days ago, this passage jumped out at me. And the Spirit of God told me that I needed to share this with you. And that's why I'm doing this right now. God is compassionate. And He said that He had to save a few from this fiery judgment. Otherwise, they would have all perished. And He always saves a remnant. So what is this passage talking about? Well, what it means, folks, is that so many people, there they were in Amos' day. The children of Israel were dying and perishing and falling into God's hot blazing furnace. But in His mercy, God decided to pluck some of them from the fire, from the blazing furnace of His judgment. And most of the Israelites had died in that flaming fire, but there were a few that were still alive, writhing and squirming in the agony of flames. And as they were squirming, in the intensity of their horror and their pain, God, out of His mercy, reached into the flame and He pulled some of them out of the furnace. And that's what He was saying right there. I plucked you as a firebrand out of the burning. And when God did that, at that moment when He plucked them out, He desired that they would live and that they would not die. But something else happened. And that something else was like a feral cat trapped in a cage. And when you catch it, it is going crazy inside the cage and squirming and jumping around. And it's wild. But out of mercy, if you were to catch a feral cat and you open the door to let it out, what does it do? It runs away from you. And that's what happened when God plucked the people out of the furnace. When God pulled them out of the fire, the few of them, the remnant of them out of the firebrand, like they were a firebrand, which is, by the way, a wooden poker for fires. And when God pulled them out, what did the ones that were rescued do? Did they say, God, thank you for saving me? Or did they repent? No. Look at the last part of verse 11. Yet you have not returned to me. God gave them a chance, and even then, folks, when God's mercy was so great, the people did not turn to God. Can you imagine God pleading with them in his heart? Israel, this is me that is doing this to your land. This is your God trying to get your attention. But they stayed stubborn and blind, and they resisted repenting. And look at the next verse. Look what the next verse says in Amos 4:12. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. Unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. No more mercy. And now, brethren, already America is in one of the worst crises in its history. America is already in one of its worst financial economic meltdowns in its entire history. We've already broken many statistics that were held by the Great Depression. We've already had more foreclosures than in the Great Depression. We've already had more bankruptcies than in the Great Depression per capita. Unemployment is almost 20% with the real number. There is a blazing furnace of God's judgment in the heavenlies. And my friends, please know this. There will be people consumed by this judgment fire. You know what that means, folks? That means people will die in this super depression and because of the super depression. Some will perish by their own hand because they cannot endure, because they cannot take the losses, because they cannot face a future that is unknown and so burdensome. And some people will die at the hand of others because there's going to be chaos. There's going to be rampant sin. The madness is going to run through the land unrestrained. People that in times past could conduct themselves with courtesies are going to throw their civilized manners away because they're going to want to feed their families and they're going to want to feed themselves. You will hear about these things. And my question to you, as these things are happening, will you be running to God? Will you be able to look around and see that these events are a part of a giant, huge, heavenly decision? My friends, what is happening right now is not just chance. It is part of God's divine sovereignty, and it has a purpose. What is the purpose? The purpose is to get all of the people to repent. And it is to bring back many souls that have been wayward and backslidden. Several months ago, I shared a sermon about how every one of us needed to be marked by God so that we would be protected in the coming storm. And the biblical reference for that message was found in Ezekiel chapter 9. And I want to ask, if you have your Bibles, for you to turn there and highlight this passage that I'm going to show you, because I want to bring it back to your remembrance. I need to talk about it. This passage of Scripture describes another judgment of God during the days of Ezekiel. And in this passage, it tells the story of God directing the angels that were watching over the city of Jerusalem to come forward in the spiritual realm. And six angels that watched over Jerusalem came forward. And then God said, let the angel that has the writer's inkhorn step forward. So one angel took a step forward. And they were all clothed with white linen. And the angel with the writer's inkhorn had it hanging by his side at his waist. And God told that angel to walk through the city of Jerusalem and to go into every house and to put a mark upon the foreheads with ink, spiritual angelic ink, on the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that are done in their midst. So the angel did that. And he walked up and down the street. And he went inside every house. And he looked for souls of men that were grieved over the sins of the land. And he marked them. And after he was finished, the five other angels were told to get their destroying weapon, their battle axes and their swords, and to walk up and down the city and to destroy everybody else that was not marked by God. And that passage of Scripture gives a very sobering and reverent visual of what goes on behind the scenes. And I want to visit this story for a moment. And I also need to say this. Every one of you that is listening to me right now has a reserve seat in the judgment that is arriving. And the only difference in the seating arrangements will be where your location is, where your seat of participation and observation is. Now, in the firebrand scenario that I was just describing, when Israel was thrown into the flames and they withered and died and perished, who was thrown into the furnace? It was not Amos. Amos wasn't thrown in there. He watched the others go in there. And why did they go into the furnace? Because they were hard-hearted, rebellious, unrepentant, unwilling to turn to God. In this other judgment story that I just mentioned, in Ezekiel chapter 9, the majority of people were also destroyed, except for a tiny group, those that were marked by God. Now, did they get marked as the judgment was occurring? No. They were marked in advance. They were marked beforehand. The angel with the inkhorn was told to mark those of them that sighed and cried over the abominations that were done in their midst. And in many, many sessions of prayer that I've had with my Lord, God has made it very clear that our number one assignment right now, my friends, needs to be soul searching and house cleaning. And also to get marked by God, not later, right now, in advance of judgment's arrival. And the thing about getting marked by God is that it has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with your position in this world. It has nothing to do with popularity or wealth or fame or success. Being marked by God has nothing to do with your fancy car if you have one, or being pretty or attractive. Those things count as nothing. The angel with the writer's inkhorn does not care if you're a Hollywood celebrity or a politician that has power. The successful acts of man are as ashes, my friends. Ashes when we are weighed in this balance. And the only thing that they are looking for is something in your heart. Do you sigh and cry over sin? Does the sin grieve you, my friends? Brethren, if sin does not grieve you, then you can't be marked. And that's what God said. Only mark those that are grieved, that sigh and cry. Because if they're not grieved over sin, destroy them. Now, I'm not saying that those that are not marked are going to die in the coming super depression. I'm not saying that, folks. However, they might. But what I am saying is, we need God's protection so that we can be taken care of with God's provision supernaturally. If you are marked, does it mean that you get to have a get out of jail card? Does it mean that you get to keep your stuff? Folks, I'm not God. And there's a different path for every one of us. But I do know this, that those that already have been merciful to others will find mercy from God. So I have this question. Do you sigh and cry over the sin around you? Are you grieved when sin abounds around you? You see, folks, when God rejuvenates your soul, things look different when you get off your knees. Things look different through your renewed mind. When you spend time with God praying, you taste of His holiness and His cleansing, you feel pure in your heart. And as a result, the impure things around you will make you sigh and cry, and they will grieve you. The little things that other people ignore will make you sigh. And the things that are tolerated by Christians around you actually hurt, and they make you sad. And when you've been with God praying, and then you come out of your prayer chamber, it will hurt when you hear two people talking to one another, when one of them says, quote unquote, "Oh my God," to the other in casual talk. Why? Because it's taking your Lord's name in vain. And if any of you try to tell me that it is not, I will tell you this. You don't spend a lot of time with God on your knees, travailing and seeking His holiness. Folks, the reverence of God is a forgotten staple in modern day Christianity. Angel, with the writer's inkhorn, step forward and mark the ones that sigh and cry over the sins of the land, and the rest get no mercy. So there you go, folks. Two descriptions of the judgment of God. One of them, people falling into the furnace and out of God's compassion being pulled out as a firebrand from flames. And then the other description, being marked by God because their hearts were grieved at sin. And as I look at these two tales of judgment, I see a choice. Do you wish to be marked by God in advance, my friends, with a writer's inkhorn? Or do you want to be marked and pulled out of the flames as a firebrand from the furnace of God? Marked with angelic ink or marked as a firebrand? And you see, brethren, the decision is not just raising your hand and voting on your choice. The decision has to do with a change of your heart now in advance. Brethren, hear me. If you want the angel's inkhorn writing on you, but you do not sigh and cry, how do you get there? How are you going to get there? You may say, I don't have the time. Number one, turn off your TV set. Turn off that video game. Turn off that movie. A change of heart only happens on your face before God. I know that some people say that they pray while they're working or shopping or working on the garden or jogging or driving to work. And that's a good thing. Those jogging prayers are a good thing. But let me say this, my friends. Those jogging prayers are only your appetizers and your hors d'oeuvres. They're not a full meal. The full meal happens when you separate yourself from everybody and you go into your chamber, into your bedroom, behind a closed door. 100% just you and God. I talk to God while I make my body stronger and jog. No, it needs to be 100% you, your spirit, doing nothing else but being on your face with God and your Bible. My friends, the days of frenzy are coming. How long till they arrive? I don't know. But every one of us needs to learn now how to get a hold of our God. Now, my friends, we need to learn to communion and sup with Him. And this takes practice. This takes meditating on scriptures. This takes much time. Learn to hear His voice now. Get familiar with His dwelling place now. So many of you listening to me need to get going to the next level of your relationship with God. And you know that's true. God knows it's true. That's why He told me to share this message with you. The door of preparation is closing. Turn your hearts toward home. Return to your first love. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. And I ask God that every person that is listening would be touched by Your anointing, by Your convicting power of Your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, send Your word to them, God. Heal their souls. Heal their hearts. Place a hunger and a thirst for righteousness within them. So many people have burdens, God. Lord, show them that they can bring these burdens to You, directly to Your throne. God, touch them. And I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.